We've got Prickles in, a.k.a. Ali Hayden, or Alison Hayden, if I'm cross with her.
Yeah, when I'm naughty.
We've also got Dave Stewart in as well. Dave is local councillor and, what do they call you, Dave? Leader of the opposition.
They call me many things, but the positive things I get. Yeah, I lead the Conservative group on the Isle of Wight Council, and I'm also a local councillor for Chow, Knighton and Whitwell. And I suppose I'm also somebody who wants to do a bit of good for the island.
Well, good for you, and it's good to have you here, and thanks for coming in. We've got, obviously, you in the news at the moment. You are the man that is asking the question that's probably on everybody's lips.
Yeah, it just... two things happen, really. One, in another role I do, which is chairing a body called the Police and Crime Panel, we got made aware that the government were considering to drop in the funding for the Hampshire Marine Unit. This is the police launch that travels all up through the Solent, including the island, looking after things like Cowes Week, looking after things like Fawley Refinery, the cruise liners or the ferries from the island that cross. So they have quite a significant role, and it seems to have come at an interesting time that the topic came up, because then we had that weekend when we had all this absolute nightmare in France, and my thinking is, you know, what are we doing taking away something like that when all what is going on is happening?
So, I mean, you're the person who asks the questions, and obviously you're asking the questions too. I mean, people are saying about, you know, because I've seen some stuff on websites. I've got to be honest, when other people put stuff on websites that isn't, they can't back up any facts, it's not going to be very helpful. But, I mean, you know, the bog standard question is, how do we, or do we, have, you know, duty to kids in school? What do we do, how, you know, to keep them safe, keep them from being groomed and that sort of thing?
It's a really good question. It's a question we should ask, and actually we want to do more than ask a question. We need to actually bottom out who's doing what.
Sure.
And ironically, tomorrow night we've got our council meeting, and I've put a motion forward, that's a proposal, that we actually review all the emergency plans and contingency we've got for something if it happened. You know, we don't want it to, but if it did happen on the island, at the you know, the festival or whatever, what how are we equipped to deal with that? That's the first bit. So actually wake up call for everybody and saying, you know, have a look at your systems and plans, because this tide's coming at us and we can't just ignore it and bury our head in the sand. But the point you make, which is a really good point, is around what the police call the prevent agenda. But basically, what are we doing to help our kids in schools, educate our kids, deal with some of the stuff they must be seeing on the internet, which is commonly recognised now? And even today, Hampshire Police were saying that although they'd heard stuff was going through the internet from all the bad people, if you like, it's still really important. So we can ask the question now, is what's happening on the island, what education support is being given?
Okay, so how long would that take? I mean, is there something we can look out for? Basically, how do we help? You know,
I think the first step is to acknowledge the situation is there, and people mustn't try and think, well, you know, we are a lovely place to live, probably one of the best places in the country. We are one of the safest places in the country, but with the internet and all the other connections that now exist, you can't say it won't come here. It will do. So we need to prepare ourselves, and that's what this is Prevent is all about, preparing yourself to protect yourself against these things. And what I'm hoping will happen is the motion will get approved tomorrow night in council, that the council will then engage with our colleagues in Hampshire who are dealing with a lot of our education stuff, and make sure that all our schools, at all levels really, because kids, as you know, even primary school kids are into internet and stuff, they've all got phones, are actually aware of what can be a problem, and we should be trying to positively help. And I'd like to see some positive responses coming back saying, yes, we've done something.
Yeah, definitely. That's one thing we need. We need to be positive about this, not chuck a great big negative spin on it.
Absolutely.
We need to be working together on it. I do know that I spoke to one of our colleagues yesterday whose son is works in a school, and she was saying that the kids are asking questions, and it's, I suppose you've got to be able to answer those questions in a sensible way that doesn't freak them out.
Yeah.
But it's also educational, I guess, as well.
Yeah, I don't think we should be fearful of the debate. I mean, even in the horrible critical situations that have happened in France, when they've interviewed individuals, and there was a lot of young people who were affected there, if you remember, in that nightclub, they said, we're not going to let this interfere with our life, we're going to get on and live our life, and we want people to do that, but they must be smart about it, they must be thinking about what's going on. There is the internet, and obviously that, I think, is where the schools could do some significant work. There's also basic personal safety to think about. You know, we're coming up to Christmas, people will be going to Portsmouth and Southampton, off on their little trips to France or whatever.
Sure.
Be smart, think carefully. And it's about getting that in your mind, and that's all we can do. Nobody can guarantee they won't, you know, be affected from what we've seen, but we can be smart about it, I think.
There was a guy on BBC being interviewed a couple of weeks ago, and he was asked. I mean, you know, I'm not really a big fan of the BBC, but he was asked the most ridiculous question, and the obvious answer is yes, we are under threat. But let's not pick it up too much. Let's deal with it in a proper way. And by that I mean, yes, okay, you've got to be vigilant, you've got to be aware, but without freaking people out. How do we do that?
Well, I think we do it by taking steps now to raise our awareness of what the issues are, so we don't panic. Obviously, if we had an immediate event, we're in a different place because you have to deal with it, and that does freak people out. But at the moment, we're not in that place here on the island. So our youngsters need to be making themselves aware of the risks. They need to be thinking how they're going to manage to protect themselves. And then they also then need to talk to their friends. And the other thing they can do, because the community is the eyes and ears. And that's what they found in France with the incidents. There were people that saw some of the individuals involved doing things before the event, and they didn't contact the police or whatever. Had they done that, that might have changed the place. We don't know. So again, on the island, if people see things, people know in all our towns and villages what is not right. If they see it, let's get that message to the police. They'll do the job. There's nothing else. You know, we pass the information over. So it's an awareness thing. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Look, we had meetings with Red Funnel and Southern Vectis. They were going to come in this week. And they've said that they now can't come in because they've got commitments to do other things, which is fine. Fair enough. Reading between the lines, I'm now thinking that they're probably having meetings on not so much up in the security, but up in the way that they survey things. Would that be a fair thing to say? I should ask them. But I'm thinking, well, okay, do we know whether they're actually stepping up there? You know,
well, it's an interesting question. And as you were talking, I was just thinking the other little hat I wear. I chair a body called the Island Ferry User Group. So all the ferry companies, including the latest one that's just joined the fleet, if you like, come along to a meeting and we look at strategic things. Now, of course, we've been talking about fares and, you know, ferry services, time of night, etc. But actually, thinking about it, and it's one of your positives from today you can take away, I'm going to put that on the agenda. What are they doing to consider security and protection of the customers? Somebody was saying to me the other day, you know, we go on the ferries, as we all do, nobody checks anything really, bags, etc. on, and we don't want to get to a kind of a micro state, but awareness should be there. So what is the ferries strategy? Do they train their staff to be alert?
It's not a case of, you know, the way I'd like it to happen is they don't shout about it too much, but they make you aware that they have upped the ante a bit without panicking anybody. And I think, you know, a couple of years ago, probably about 15 years ago, there was the foot and mouth square, and we all knew that they put something in place. So yeah. I'm guessing this is far worse than that. So I'm guessing they've got to have something in place, and I'm guessing that's what they're doing at the moment.
I'm sure they are. And funny enough, I was talking to a company in Newport recently on totally unrelated matter, and I spoke to one of the managers there, and he said, well, we're just reviewing our internet security. And you never think, you know, but there's a company with lots of employees checking their internet security just to make sure they're not going to be, if you like, attacked by the bad people. Very smart thing to do. And I'd like to think a lot of companies are now doing that, because it's another way of being aware and protecting yourself.
Do you think, as an island, we're quite vulnerable, Dave?
I think everywhere is vulnerable. It's all about degrees, isn't it? So we have a number of barriers to get to the island. If you're trying to come over and do something, you've got to get to England. And to get to England, you've got to get to the island, and you all have to pay your ferry fares to get here. But it isn't as simple as that, because people can make people vulnerable through the internet. We're the same as all other places. We've got youngsters who are growing up, becoming wise, so that's a risk. We're sending our kids to universities all over the place, so there's an area. So we're vulnerable, but not as probably obviously as somewhere like London or Manchester. But it would be very naive to think, oh, we're okay on the Isle of Wight and they won't come over here or whatever. Who says that?
Well, we were just thinking, we had a conversation a couple of weeks ago when there was an unexploded hand grenade or something found at the tip.
Yep.
How long does it actually take for a bomb disposal to come from the mainland? Because obviously we've got nothing based on the island like that.
No, and I can't quote you exact figures. I could certainly find that out for you. But I think I would say is the process is quite simple. Don't touch it. Don't go near it. Get yourself out of the way of it. Tell the police. The police will then contact the bomb disposal, as you rightly say, and they have the ability with modern technology to get here pretty fast. But it's all about preserving your safety until they deal with it. And they've got some pretty, on the other side of the water, some pretty quick turnaround times.
See, we were also saying about armed police and stuff. You know, up in London, if there was a terror alert, they're there, aren't they, at the drop of the hat. We haven't got that facility on the island either, have we?
Well, we haven't.
Know that.
No, that actually is not quite accurate. We do have armed capability either on or available to the island at very short notice if needs be. But when we're talking short notice, I did an exercise up in London with some colleagues, and as you saw on in France as well, if somebody pulls out a gun and starts doing some of the horrendous things they're doing, they can probably all over and done with you in about sort of 17 seconds. So you've got to be very close in order to intercept that. You're seeing at the moment in Belgium, which is really frustrating me, a fantastic Christmas tree and nobody looking around it because there's armed guards all around the square because they know they've got to be there if something happens. Sure. So it's all about managing risk, really. And just because we haven't got somebody with a gun right next to us, if we're aware and we're smart, we can reduce any risk. So I'm still positive about it. I'm still, you know, at the end of the day, we're giving this message out, but actually we are a good place to live. We are probably safer than many, but don't be complacent. That's the thing.
There have been, you know, over the last X amount of years, you know, negative comments, because it's not that unexploded, what's it that we were talking about earlier on. That's not the only thing that we've had, you know, in the last X amount of years. So I'm guessing, would there be like, okay, somebody phones up and says, there's something that looks a bit iffy in at the tip. Do they make the phone call? Is this how it works, where they say, well, where is it? It's not in the town. It's not near too many people. Okay, well, we'll be over in a couple of hours. If it's a case of, right, it's in a bank, or it's in a school and it's more serious, is it going to be, you know, code red, a lot quicker, get here before 2 hours?
It's all a risk assessment. The most important thing is that the message is passed. So, you know, if you went up there, very fortunately, they're up at the tip since you use it. There are two or three staff up there already who work daily, and I'm sure they're very alert to those kind of things. But that's a good question. Are they? What training do they have? You know, so this is when you come back into my principle about looking at all our training and experience. But that said, if somebody says, right, there's something over there looks like an unexploded grenade or something from whatever, well, the first thing is that's got to get passed very quickly to those that need to know, which is through the police. You've got the 999 system if you have to. I personally think you use it at the right time for that. They then will activate all the things they need to get that secured down. I would also be talking to the guys in the, and mainly guys out there, in their yellow jackets who, you know, tell everybody where to dump all their rubbish. Because right, they will have a process to put in place. And then that gives you the security, if you like. There's little things like that. But what do you do if there's a, you know, a bag left in Newport High Street outside Boots? It's the same principle, isn't it? It's on its own. We don't know whose it is. Could be something suspicious. Let's get back out of the way of it and let's make a quick phone call to the police, then let them deal with it.
Okay. I mean, say, when we get to that position where we need to make a phone call, is that the best place to, is that the number to call?
999? If you think something's suspicious in that kind of context that we're describing, ring 999, because it gets straight through to the police. When you're talking about less things, you know, there's a potential, you know, somebody might have stolen a lawnmower or whatever, they're important, but they're not 999 ones. But I think when you get something like, in this environment at the moment, where we have genuine potential for suspicious packages and things, I don't think anybody's going to be criticised for doing the right thing.
Okay, that's, I'm glad you came in. I'm glad
that's
you,
all right,
you
know, no problem. That's nice to talk to you.
It's just reassuring that somebody, this is the most important thing, but it's reassuring that somebody is actually now saying those things that we're all thinking. You know, is there someone doing that? And that's you. Your team must be really, really busy, because this thing isn't like going to be here today, gone tomorrow. This is going to be around for a while.
Yeah, and I mean, I put my council hat on. I'm just asking the questions of the council, because I think, you know, if you look at all the priorities the council has, it will talk about all sorts of things on there. Are all important, but keeping people safe is probably about the most important, I think.
Okay, is there anything, any other advice you can offer?
No, and I think also enjoy Christmas, because one of the things that frustrates me with this is, you know, you see people getting very, very panicky and frustrated, and I can understand why, but we've got to go on and live our life. I don't want to let these people win the day, you know. It's just
that's good advice, and I say this is something we've been saying for the last, you know.
You do, you need to live your life.
These people are not going to make me think any differently. I'm getting on with my life. I'm just a little bit more extra vigilant, careful what I say in public places and so on and so forth, but which I was anyway, but it is just a case of stiff upper lip, we get on with it.
Yeah.
And that's it. But and you say you've got a meeting tomorrow?
Yeah, we've got our council meeting tomorrow evening, and I'm hoping I'll get a lot of support from all the councillors, because it's not really, for me, not a political issue. It's an issue to sort the island out, and we should be putting our island before everything else.
Would there be, you know, after that meeting tomorrow, you know, some kind of announcement where we can, you know, as an island folk, get on board and help out in
I think so. I think, you know, if I work on the positive again, that it's supported, and I'm sure most councillors will your support, then we should be able to send some positive messages out. And I should certainly be trying to use all the media we can to say, come on, let's get on with it. And Phil Jordan, who's the executive member on the council for community safety, I know is supportive of this, and I'm sure he'll be doing his part as well. So that's where we can work together properly.
Brilliant. Okay. Look, thanks for coming in. I won't grill you anymore. But any more questions, Ali, or have you finished now?
No, I was just thinking about the cutbacks, you know, about the marine service. That is one of the busiest shipping lanes, isn't it?
Probably one of the busiest in the world.
And it
probably
doesn't make sense to try and make cutbacks there.
Which is why, obviously, I've taken to support the Police and Crime Commission and make a stand, and have done the best I can with my ability to connect with people. I mean, our MP's done the same, I can tell you that. He's been up to the Houses of Parliament talking to people and just flagging up where the island sits on this. And if they make the decision, I'd rather they make it fully informed than not appreciating the impact. You know, and that's what I've tried to do, is make sure they get the message.
And the other thing I wanted to ask you, as a Conservative, how do you actually feel about all the cutbacks from the government?
We're into a whole other agenda there.
No, I just wondered how that sits with you, knowing how the island's struggling and the Isle of Wight Council's struggling and everything on the Isle of Wight. Because, you know, obviously you're supportive of the island, you do different things here, there and everywhere for the community.
Yeah.
You must see lots of people in your community suffering from the government cuts.
Well, I see lots of pressure. I see lots of pressure from the restrictions. However, I also see people that maybe could be more solution-focused, coming back to your point. you know, I would rather be in a country where we are managing our budget tight and we are not going bust, if I put it as bluntly as that. And I look around other parts. If you remember, not so long back, we were looking across Europe at Greece and other places which were absolutely crashing, and those that have been on holiday will know what it's like out there. We don't want to be in that place. And we do have a deficit. We've got it. It's like running your household budget. You know, you can't run overdrawn forever. It doesn't work. That said, cutting back can be painful. You know, I've just done that domestically on some of my stuff. And you think, oh, I'm not going to have that. But at least I'm stabilising the situation. But where I think we can turn it around is to actually look to the community to work with us to do some income generation, to do some positive things. I'll give you one example because I always use it. Libraries. You know, big issues came in when the council said, look, we can't afford to be running all the libraries. Those people want to go out to Knighton or go out to other places where there are community libraries. They are absolutely fantastic hubs, and the council is supporting, but it's not running. In fact, I would argue they're probably better, because the community are coming up with innovative ideas of what else they could do. So it's about working with our community, and I think that's my goal, is to try and help out. It is challenging, and we have to make the right decisions, and protect the most vulnerable is key. And I think everybody knows adult social care is a big issue at the moment, and we've got to have a good look at that, because being the island with the demography we've got, we're probably affected more than a lot of places in the country. But I think we can do it. I think we've got to be positive, and we've got to be thinking out of the box and doing things differently.
Thanks for your time, Dave. Good to see you. And good luck with that meeting tomorrow.